We have been looking at the life or the record that Nehemiah has in the Old Testament about his work with the people of Israel. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer in the kingdom of Assyria under the king Xerxes. He was in the capital of Susa. And the Lord led him to go back to Jerusalem, to his home city, to go back there and restore the walls and build up the city once again. And so we've gone through that story, and we the last time we were together, the time before, we came to the point where the walls were completed. Remember, how long did it take? 52 days to complete the entire wall that they were working on there around Jerusalem. Nehemiah has dealt with a lot of opposition. We've talked about that. Opposition from within, opposition from without. And the Lord has led us to really use those times to look at how we deal with opposition today. And especially the opposition of Satan, the evil one, who's our enemy, who's out to get us, those of us who are followers of God. And now we're picking up the story immediately following the incredible revival meeting that they're having with Ezra. And Ezra the scribe, and this great revival has taken place among the Jewish people there in Jerusalem. They're worshiping the Lord. They're confessing their sin. They're listening to the word of God being declared. And this has been going on probably for almost a month now as we come up to chapter 9 in Nehemiah. They've celebrated several of the Jewish feasts, one of them being the Feast of Booths, where they celebrate how the Lord brought them through the wilderness. They celebrate other feasts as well throughout that month. But this has been a time of incredible revival among the people, among the Jewish people there in Jerusalem. So now we're going to come up on chapter 9, where tonight we're going to really focus on the prayer that is prayed here by the leadership of the people. And tonight, I want us to ask ourselves these questions. Do you ever struggle to know how to pray? Is there ever times in your life where you just really want to bear your heart before the Lord, but sometimes it's just hard to put it into words? And I trust that tonight, as we look through this study and look through this prayer that is prayed out before the Lord, before the people, I want to bring out a couple principles and a couple things that are in here that I believe will help us. It's helped me this week as I've tried to apply this myself in the way I've prayed as I've studied this text. I've tried to just apply some of these principles, and it's been quite a refreshing journey. So I trust that it'll be refreshing to you as well. So in Nehemiah chapter 9, just begin with me there in verse 1. It says, "Now on the 24th day, the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled." And notice, they're assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. The scene here, let me describe the scene. They have spent almost a month now in revival and confessing sin and being before the Lord. And when there is revival, there is always sin that is confronted and sin that is being dealt with. And so what we see here is the people are before the Lord, they're open before Him. The Lord, we are confessing our sin. They're fasting. They are sitting there with sackcloth and ashes, a sign of grief and mourning, really, in the Jewish culture. And these folks are in incredible grief for the state that they have put themselves in because of their sinfulness, because of their own rebellion against God. And so the scene really is kind of, you would walk in that city and you would see people just sitting on the streets, and they would be covered with dust, and they would be crying out to the Lord. In verse 2, what you see there is a result of this revival. In verse 2 it says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers." One of the major problems in this city was that the Jewish people had been intermarrying and intermingling with people of surrounding countries and surrounding nations, and they had differing beliefs. God had forbid Israel to intermarry with other nations because they were afraid, because God knew that idolatry would settle in, and that's exactly what took place. And so the people now are realizing the incredible error of their ways and now have set themselves apart from these strangers or foreigners, people that are not of them and not of Jewish heritage, and also are not trusting in the God Jehovah. Verse 3, I think, will put us to shame. Listen to this. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Let me describe a little bit to you. 1/4 of the day, the Jewish day was typically 12 hours. So 1/4 of the day would be in 3 hours. And their Jewish day, typically, it began at 6 and ended at 6. And so what we have here is the people would be listening, standing, listening to the Word of God being read for at least 3 hours every day. And then they would spend the next 3 hours worshiping and confessing their sin. Listen, folks, when you read the Word of God, it should have a powerful effect on your life, on my life. And when these people are before the Lord and hearing the Word of God, the effect is they see their sin and they realize they must go to God and confess it before Him. And the result is worship. Worship. And we're going to see incredible worship here as we read on. So, finally, let's look at verse 4. It says, "Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani and Kadmiel and Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani and Chenaiah, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God." And you do not need to check me on how I pronounce those names. I just gave it the best shot, all right? What we have here is the leadership of Israel, Levites, have now taken the stage. And literally here in Jerusalem, what they had done was built a wooden platform, a platform that had to be as big enough at least to hold at least 14 people. And this was where Ezra would be reading the scriptures. And this is where you see these leadership, these leaders, these Levites, climbing up to lead the people in prayer. So, picture the scene. You've got this city. The walls are newly rebuilt. And the houses are beginning to be restored. And now you have this great group of people that have been gathering for almost a month now, and they stand before this wooden platform as the leaders ascend. Verse 5, one thing in verse 4 I wanted you to notice. They cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. And this is an incredible example of good leadership. As the leadership ascends here, they are crying out to the Lord their God. And in verse 5, the Levites, and it goes to the list of names, and it says there in the middle of verse 5, it says, they stand up and bless the Lord your God. They're speaking now to the people and to the Lord, and they're saying, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all the things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. Now, beginning principle here, I believe God wants us to understand as we come before Him. We see in these two verses. Because what we can identify here is that these people are coming before the Lord and declaring His glory. You know, as we pray, how many times is it so easy? We've got a reason to pray. Usually it's a request. And we come, we state our request, we're done. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? Or whether it's something we're thanking the Lord for. We thank the Lord for our food, right? You know, and it's so easy just to fly through that. But what I want us to understand in principles about prayer here is a glorious time before the Lord here can be begun by declaring His glory. Who is He? I almost gave you pieces of paper tonight and asked you to take notes and write down answers to these questions from your own heart and mind, so that you could walk away from here tonight having a list of things that when you pray, you could look at that and say, Lord, You are almighty. You are all-knowing. And you see here, and you might think this would be, you know, the Lord already knows these things. Yes, He does. But I want to tell you, He loves to hear from the hearts of His people. He loves to hear us sing His praises. And that's a beautiful way for us to begin our time before the Lord, singing His praises. And you see here, the leadership in this prayer, they stand up and they bless the Lord. And they declare Him God. He's God forever and ever. The Lord knows that, yes. But listen, He loves to hear us declare things that we know are true about Him, because that affirms in our own hearts of what we believe about who He is. And I say, it seems like I'm a broken record times, but the Lord, you know, the Word of God is just so central on who God is and who Jesus Christ is. It always comes back to that, right? And so it's okay if we keep reviewing. But let's remember, let's continue to increase our knowledge of who God is. And that, in turn, will enrich your prayers as you are able to come before Him and say, Lord, I learned this about You today, and I praise You. Lord, I understood today for the first time why the resurrection was so important. May You be praised. You're declaring the glory of the Lord. Look at how they do this. They blessed be Thy glorious name. I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's several books out there on the names of God. And it's interesting read. Because the name, just in the names alone of God, there is incredible glory. Names have significance in the Scriptures, and especially the names of the Lord. He's got a glorious, glorious name. When you think about and understand the meanings of these names, that in and of itself causes you to bring praise to Him. Look what else they do. He says, blessed be Thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. In order to pray something like that, you have to believe that God is above all. He is supreme, He is sovereign, and His name is exalted. Verse 6, Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Do you realize the incredible meaning behind that statement? Think about who's saying it. This is the Israelites. What has been the major problem of the Israelites for centuries? Idolatry. Idolatry, and the sheer fact of idolatry, means that God's not God alone. He shares that spot with a whole bunch of other gods. Whatever's convenient, whatever makes us in favor with other nations. Listen, God wants to hear us declare He is God and God alone in our hearts. Don't be afraid, folks, to take this scripture and just pray it to the Lord. You know, there's times when I don't know what to say. Let me tell you, when you have those times, when I have those times, opened up to a passage like this and say, Lord, Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. You've made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, and allow Your heart to blend with the heart of the writer and with the Spirit of God as they praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. And let me tell you something, when you pray the Scriptures, you know you're praying the will of God. How cool is that? Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. So what did God not do? He made it all. The heavens and everything therein. The earth and everything therein. The seas and everything therein. Woo! That's your God. That's my God. He's made it all. And what's it say? He's preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. That could be the angels, but it's also, I believe, the creation. The creation declares the glory of God. So I grasp this principle here. This is a prayer. This is these are the leadership, the Levites, praying out before the Lord, before all of the people. And what they're doing is singing His praises. And may you and I allow our hearts to join in this as we pray to the Lord. Now let's look on. This is the next part. What we're going to see is we're going to see the Levites now looking back at God's faithfulness. Verse 7 says, "Thou art the Lord the God, thou art the Lord the God who didst choose Abraham," or Abram here, "and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name Abraham. And foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." So we sing the Lord's praises, and then we review his faithfulness. You know, we might not have an incredible history like the Israelites, but then again, we do. What the leadership here is going to do is review the history, the incredible things that the Lord has done throughout Israel, throughout their history. And we see this time and time again throughout the scriptures in different prayers. People reviewing God's faithfulness. And I believe, folks, we've got to catch on to this idea. This idea that we need to look back and recount the times of God's faithfulness in our lives. You see, all of those things that God has done in the past have brought us to who we are today. Each one of those times are important. And each one of those times bears testimony to the faithfulness and greatness of our God. This may take a little time, a little exercise, a little mental jogging. But I think it would be good for us to sit down and begin to write times when we have seen God be faithful. What does that mean? Times He's answered prayer. We see here, the first thing they mention here is the covenant of Abraham. The covenant of Abraham, land, seed, and blessing. You shall have this land, you shall have seed, and you shall be blessed. And this is an incredible blessing for the people of Israel and for us today. What's the covenant that we have? The covenant of His blood. The new covenant. May we all begin there as we look at God's faithfulness. Because it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood and His resurrection that allows us to begin this journey with Jesus. That's God's faithfulness in your life. And it's His grace, really. So you see, they remember the covenant of Abraham. Verse 9, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest the cry by the Red Sea, and shows the signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. Here, the people of Israel were in bondage. They are reviewing God's faithfulness, his deliverance. Have you ever been delivered by the Lord? What about a time when you've been severely tempted to sin? And maybe you fell into sin. And you saw God just grab you and pull you out and deliver you from that sin. Those are the times to review before the Lord in prayer and say, "Praise God! I saw him, his faithfulness." What about a dark time in your life? A time of incredible troubles and trials. And you've seen the Lord pick you up and give you strength. Praise the Lord. It's a time of faithfulness. Review that before the Lord and praise him. Verse 11, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors thou throwest in the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Incredible, miraculous event of crossing the Red Sea, continuing to review the faithfulness of God and his deliverance of their people. Verse 12, moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. And thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and made known, verse 14, and made known them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. So, review his deliverance. And now, you review, look back at how God has led you. I mean, God led the people of Israel with a cloud and a pillar of fire. And then what he did was he gave them the law, something that they could hold, look at, and understand what God desired. It wasn't a mystery anymore. This was spelled out, what God desired to be pleased. These were all ways that God sought to lead his people. God has led you in your time. There have been events, people, scriptures that have worked mightily in your life to lead you on your spiritual journeys. Take time to reflect and remember those times. They're special times. Maybe it's a special person in your life. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a pastor in the past. Maybe it's a husband or a wife that has been a wonderful leader to you. All of these things allow them to point you to God and praise him for his mercy and grace in your life. So you sing God's praises, and then you remember his faithfulness. His faithfulness and how he's delivered you, how he's led you. Faithfulness in his covenant with you through his son, Jesus Christ. And then I'll look at how God's provided. They're remembering the faithfulness of God and how he's provided for them. Look at this. Verse 15, and gave us them bread. God gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. That was the manna. And he brought forth water out of the rock for their thirst. And he promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. Do you remember times when God's provided for you? It could be as simple as a time when you didn't have the money for a meal and God provided the meal. God cares that much. and about you and me. People of Israel, complaining, nasty people to the Lord, but yet he provided for them, didn't he? How has the Lord provided for you? How has the Lord provided for me? Take time to ask yourself that question. I guarantee it will lead you to sing his praises. You know what this is all leading up to, right? It means we probably ought to start journaling or taking some notes, right? Because we just forget this stuff. Oh, let's not forget this stuff. Let's take some notes about what God has done in our lives. And then what he's provided for them, and now here he's given them a promise. I promise you, Israel, you can go in and take that land. I'm going to help you possess it. Claiming the promises of God. That's another beautiful exercise that we can do before the Lord. Is reviewing his promises and seeing how he has met them in your life. Man. His promises to never leave us nor forsake us. I can remember a dark time in my life when I was, I don't know what was going on, but man, I felt so far, far away. I was just crying out in the field. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I felt like there was a wall between me and the Lord, and I was so alone. And the Lord never left me. He never forsakes me. Even the dark times, the struggling times, even your times of sin, my times of sin, he's there calling us back. His promises are precious, and may we hold them dear to our hearts. But look at verse 16. And before we judge, look at our own hearts. What's it say here, verse 16? But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready. Listen to this, folks. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Let me read that again. Okay? Let me read that again. This is your God. Okay? And he just talked about they dealt proudly, they were stubborn, they didn't obey him. And what did God? Who is God here? He's a God ready to pardon. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness and did not forsake them. Whew. Listen, folks. If you haven't been there, or you will be at some point in your life in rebellion before the Lord, maybe, and boy, am I glad we serve a God like that. Amen. That slow to anger jumped out at me.
Yes, amen.
Because man, how many times have we angered our Lord? Maybe it's by a thought or a deed or a word. How many times have we angered him? And this, just this idea of him being slow to anger. Because do you realize that God has the power at his fingertips to end your life in a split second? To end my life. He could, if he desired, cause us to be lame or whatever he desired. But he is slow to anger. He is gracious. He's merciful. What's that mean, folks? That means that God gives us second chances. Thirds and fourths. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes. He gives us many, many times opportunities to come back to him. And that's shown by the example of his people Israel. if you just take that package right there and sit down and kneel before the Lord and review that, that'll be a rich time. Verse 18, yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercy did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud, it didn't depart from them. The fire, it didn't depart from them. It continued to show them light and showed them where to go. The faithfulness of God, folks, remember it, review it, praise Him for it. His faithfulness in your life. Verse 20, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years they were in the wilderness, and you sustained them. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wax old, and their feet did not swell. This is rebellious people, folks. But God cared for them and brought them through. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations, and you didst divide them into corners, and they possessed that promised land. Their children also multiplied as the stars of heaven, and you brought them into the land concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. God's so faithful, even when we are not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Times when we have not been faithful, yet God remains true and faithful. His dear people, he saw them through the wilderness. He brought them to the promised land. He enabled them to conquer the land. He gave them multitudes of children as the stars of heaven. Verse 24, so the children, they went in to and possessed the land. They subdued it before the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings, the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. The Israelites, they took strong cities, and they got a fat land. That's what the King James says here, a fat land. That means a very plentiful, rich land. A land that was very fruitful. God didn't give them a desert. God gave them a fruitful, fruitful land. They took strong cities, a fat land, and possessed houses. I mean, they possessed a land that was already built, had cities, already had wells dug, already had houses built. Listen, God took care of His people. He brought them in. It was all set up. It was like it was set up ready for them. Boom. There you go, folks. That's the faithfulness of God. He doesn't go just halfway. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. God blessed them. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. Oh, man. There it goes again, right? I mean, we just get up on this high mountain, right? We're climbing, climbing, climbing. And boom. Now we're down there and now we're disobedient again. All right? But hey, well, let's not judge because, man, aren't we there sometimes? Whew. So nevertheless, verse 26, they were disobedient, rebelled against thee. They cast their law behind their backs, like, forget it. They slew the prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, and this is the period of the judges. All right? They forsook God. God allowed them to be overtaken by enemies. They cried out to God for mercy. He's merciful. He delivered them. They rebelled. What's disobedience bring? Cursing, remember? Well, they were cursed by being put under another enemy. And that cycle continued and continued and continued. He delivers them into the hand of the enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. I was hoping to get all the way through this tonight, but I'm not. But that's okay. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I know it's kind of a downer, but I believe God has given us the tools for us to sing His praises tonight. Because what we have seen, and that's what's awesome about the Word of God. And I sit down, and those of you that have studied or have had to speak, sometimes you look at the Old Testament and passages like these, and you just, man, God, what do you want it to tell us? Or how can I present this? How can it have power and meaning in our life today? Right? Listen, these principles that we are learning are timeless. And we think about how we approach our Lord, and we can take from this these key principles of singing His praises and remembering His faithfulness. And you can look at this passage and use this as a guide as you recount, as these leadership, the Levites, lead the people in prayer. So let's remember this week as we spend time in prayer, maybe it's in your devotions or on your way to work or whatever. Take time to sing God's praises. Take time to do that. I know there's a ton of requests on that piece of paper. But listen, God wants to hear our praises. He wants us to glorify Him. He wants us to praise Him and lift His name high. I want you to be one of those people that's in the car going... Do you ever see them?
Oh, yeah.
Just drive, drive safely. But listen, God wants us to be before Him singing His praises. And then what we're seeing here, okay, and this is not my idea. I believe this is what God wants us to know tonight is He wants us to remember His faithfulness throughout our lives.
Right.
All right, and if that means that you go back and look at journals, do it. Go back and look at times that He's done answered prayer, done things in your life, and attribute them to the Lord, praise Him for it, and allow, I believe you will be blessed. I mean, that's not why you're doing it, but I tell you, it's a powerful, powerful thing to be before the Lord and singing His praises. All right, let's rise together. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer, and then we will go. Heavenly Father, we stand here tonight and we bless Your holy name. Lord, You're holy. And that means, God, it means that You are totally set apart. It means that You can't even look on sin. And God, we don't understand what that means, but Lord, we know that You, as a holy, almighty God, have stepped out of heaven through Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come down on earth to redeem us.
Yes.
And for that, we sing Your praises. And Lord, we remember how You've been faithful to us here tonight. First of all, You've given us the Word of God, and this has been a process down through the centuries as people sought and were beaten just because they translated it into the English language. But God, You have taken the Word of God, and now not only is it in English but that we can understand, but it's in hundreds of languages around the world. And Lord, we sing Your praises for Your faithfulness to Your people and to Your longing to draw others unto Yourself. And Lord, we praise You for that. God, we remember Your faithfulness for us as a church and how You have brought us through these many years. Lord, how You have kept us faithful, and how You have brought men to this pulpit to bring forth the Word of God and to lead these people to have an impact in this community. And I thank You and praise You for them. I thank You and praise You for bringing my family and I here and the opportunity that I now have to join with these dear folks in singing Your praises together. And we praise You, Lord, tonight. Thank You for dying for us. And of course, now, Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your resurrection. In Your precious name, amen.